KFUO is a listener-supported radio ministry that needs your support to continue. When you partner with KFUO, you are proclaiming Christ worldwide. November 30th is Giving Tuesday, a day that encourages you to give back in whatever ways you can. Giving Tuesday presents a perfect time each year for you to support your favorite nonprofit organizations, including KFUO Radio. To give to KFUO, call 314-996-1518 or text KFUO to the number 41444 or give online at kfuo.org.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the book of Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave also some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God's creation was good, and it was complete. It was filled with plants and animals and everything to be desired. It was lush, fertile, to be enjoyed by Adam and Eve without measure. They who were the pinnacle of creation, the very image of the living God, were set into the garden to make it their home. They were to rest and work and love and rule as king and queen there. The devil, though, was envious of the happiness of man and woman in the garden, because he hated the favors that were shown to them. He reflected that they had hopes of eternal life, where he, a superior creature, had fallen and had become now part of the mundane things. He seethed and plotted on how to ruin this good and perfect place that God had created. And above all, he hated them. He sought to destroy them. But the devil's devious, crafty. A frontal attack would be too obvious. So he appealed through the thing that he was most familiar with. He appealed to their pride. He set Eve's thoughts on goals beyond her real capabilities in order that she might be puffed up with empty hopes and lose all the advantages that had already been given to her. And thus he began, God is holding out on you. He gave all this, of course, and it's nice, but he left out the best part, of course. If you listen to me, you can be like him. You will know good and evil. Then you will be complete. Eve, with Adam subordinating himself to her, saw that they would be fulfilled in this eating, for they would become the source of their own happiness and joy. So Eve and Adam turned away from their father, the true and the living God, the great turn on which all of mankind's history is based. But the Lord did not leave them to their folly. He came looking for them. He didn't stride into the garden, though, the fee-fi-fo-fum. He came as a father looking for his little children. Where are you? And Adam, hearing him, pokes his head out from behind the tree and says, I was afraid because I'm naked. Instead of confessing what he had done, which would be the place for it right here, which would have helped him, Adam related what had been done to him, which did not help him at all. Adam failed to confess his folly and blamed the woman. There is no sign of humility at all in him. He is thoroughly fallen. There is no change of heart, but rather the contrary. He replied, the wife that you gave me, she deceived me. You notice he doesn't say my wife. The one you gave me. You, Father, placed this disaster on my head. And likewise the woman, no hint of repentance, she simply points over to the serpent. He made me do it. And now we look back at that and consider how this is only an anticipation of our own state, isn't it? See how many and great evils that has brought upon us, this self-justification, this holding fast to our own will, this obstinacy in being our own guide. Their sin was coveting. Now, that's not Commandments 9 and 10 as we number them, but I kind of think they're the big ones sometimes. They're at the end, but they lead into everything else. It's lusting after what hasn't been given, what has not been given to us. It's the root of so many evils. Think of Samson and David and Judas and yourself. How many of us are workaholics, have left spouse and wife and children at home so we can do more, make a name for ourselves? We covet something we haven't been given. We try to make fruitfulness out of the sweat of our brow, vainly trying to break the curse of weed and thorn and making something good out of it. We chafe under the bonds of marriage in the biblical order of creation. Coveting brings us pain of every kind. We are certainly offspring of our first parents. It leads us into greed, into theft, into gambling and adultery. It tempts us to want to become accepted by the world when our children or family take on worldly things, worldly lifestyles. We are tempted to choose them over the Word of God. We are tempted to choose the glory of society's acceptance over what God says is right. The devil is always trying to get the repeat of the fall in us, and it's very easy for us. This reading is certainly timely for our first Monday in Advent. We are reminded here of our fallen state and a need for our repentance. We are reminded of our very real predicament resulting from the curse of sweat and pain and disorder and death. Adam and Eve from that very day suffered for their sin. And we labor under the same weight of sin and its curse. As St. Paul says, in Adam, all men die. Repent. God did not leave them without hope, though. In the curse on the serpent, he put a promise for mankind. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so our father tenderly cares for his fallen children and gives them his word of promise and salvation right in the midst of all that cursing and death. And so we see that the darkness of our helplessness is not permanent. For God makes his ultimate turn toward us and turns our history at the cross. He reveals himself to be the prodigal father who spends everything he has to get us back. And there at the cross, the promise of the garden is fulfilled and our salvation is accomplished. Our faults, our most grievous faults, were healed by the one who came in the likeness of our sinful flesh. And there on the cross, we look on Christ as our only hope, the glory of God, the salvation of the world. And so we who have fallen by pride can only be returned by God through humility. But it is not our humility. It is Jesus Christ who did not think it robbery to be equal to God, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. Hence, the word by which we were made has been made our flesh. We pray during Lent that it is good, right, and salutary through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished salvation by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life might also rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Where Adam and Eve ate from the tree to their death and the condemnation, at the tree of the cross that death is paid for and our condemnation taken away, we find at the tree of the cross our life and salvation. One of our old fathers pointed out that Adam and Eve ate the poison that brought death to them and to all mankind. And so it is fitting for us that the remedy, the antidote, the medicine of immortality also be taken by the mouth. And thus we eat the body and drink the blood that proved itself superior to death and became the source of our life. Praise be to God for his mercy and his tender heart. For he has not cast us out, he has come looking for us, welcomed us who have wandered in helplessness and were lost. He has paid the price of our sin for us and brought us life and salvation. And so we now wait with hope and joy for the day of our Lord's return. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Amen.